5, 4, 3, 2. This is Children Come First with Dr. Daria Brzezinski. And this morning we're having as our guest the, we'd like to welcome Trent Boken, the principal of Mansfield Junior and Senior High School, and Dick Palmer, the school counselor for Mansfield Junior and Senior High School. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Daria.
Thank you, Daria.
Now we're going to do something different. We have two people simultaneously, which is a first on our program today, so bear with us if there's any challenging overlays or overlaps. But let's start with, now we've had superintendent, Dr. Ron Boyanowski from Southern Tioga School District, which is where you're from, and we're going to talk about some of the specific kinds of things that you do at the junior senior high school. And I don't know who wants to talk about what, so we'll give our audience a little bit of background about the Mansfield Junior and Senior High School.
Okay. Doria, what we've been able to do, Dick Palmer has been at Mansfield Junior and Senior High School just a little over 30 years. I came to Southern Tioga School District at Mansfield Junior and Senior High School 2 years ago. I'm currently in my second year as a principal at the Junior and Senior High School. The demographics of our school is we're in a small community. We have in our school district we actually have three separate high schools, each of them small. Our high school is the largest, and we have approximately 550 students, but that goes grades 7 through 12. And our community is a rural area, and we do have a local state university, Mansfield University. Is right in our community. It's actually just a couple of blocks from our high school.
All right. Now, how do you get students acclimated to junior and senior high school?
This is a real key for us. I know that there were a number of things that Dick Palmer was involved in prior to my coming on as principal. A key feature that we try to implement at the high school, at the junior senior high school, is really making everybody feel welcome. We try to personalize our complete environment. Probably most important, we start out with an orientation program with our incoming sixth graders coming into the seventh grade. That's pretty general as far as many high schools do that, or many high schools do that with a middle school if they have a middle school. The things that we do a little different, we have this orientation program, but we also have that orientation program for the parents. We've had a pretty good showing in our summer programs where when I first came in as principal, we had approximately 120, 130 parents and students come in for an open forum orientation meeting. And we basically just had open discussion. We talked about what they can expect at the junior senior high school. And we talked about what their concerns are, what their ideas are. And we did just a very quick survey of that. Going on with that, once they do enter our building, we have established a program that is called Team Education. And I'd like to have Dick Palmer talk a little bit about the Team Education program.
Okay, Daria, this is something we started this year. Our intent was to start last year, and then because of our building project, we felt we needed to, you know, to hold it off. And one of the things we were hearing was that from that transition from sixth grade to seventh grade, it was a difficult time for our kids. And since we are a junior senior high school, even though, you know, the seventh graders kind of have their own wing of the building, you know, they cross over, and so they, you know, they mingle with juniors and seniors, you know, throughout the entire day. So there's a number of things we wanted to do, and one of them was to kind of create a family atmosphere. We felt that would be very, very successful. And so what we did, we took each of our seventh and eighth graders and we put them on a team. So we have a total of eight teams at our school, four seventh and four eighth grade teams. And on that team were about 20 students, 20 to 22 students. We also put what we call a lead teacher, who would serve like a homeroom teacher, who would be the person who kind of, you know, watches over them. And then we added to that team a member of our student assistance team because we wanted to incorporate the concept of drug and alcohol prevention into the program as well. And then on top of that, we added a peer helper, a trained junior or senior student who would be a part of that team. And the whole idea was to have a number of people besides myself, the high school counselor, and I'm on a team, and Trent's on a team, our assistant principal is on a team. But besides just having us watch over them, there would be a number of support systems, especially maybe even our peer helpers, that they say, hey, we've been here, and we've been in the school 5 or 6 years. These are our kids that stand out as our most outstanding academic students, our best athletes, our best musicians, you know, young people that are really looked up to as positive role models. And we wanted the young kids to see them on a daily basis. And then what we've done is every team came up with their own name. You know, we have names from the people's team to the brainy bunch, and it's been a really neat thing. We took pictures, so every team has their own identity, and then every quarter we're running a team challenge. This quarter was a mega volleyball game, and we challenged them to do well academically. And so we had a big pizza party at the end of the first 9 weeks for those who accomplished that. And then this next 9 weeks, we've got other activities are coming up. So, but the whole idea is to provide a bigger support system for each of the students in our 7th and 8th grade.
Sorry, if I could add on to that. I guess, completely taken with this program, especially after we had initiated the program. This mega volleyball that Dick just talked about, we actually had our full 7th and 8th grade student body in our gymnasium. We had all of these teachers taking part in it. We had approximately a 30 to 40 pound ball that we just had, and we had a round robin tournament. It was very quick. The atmosphere in the gymnasium was one of complete school spirit. It was fantastic. I saw teachers right in there. I saw the kids moving. We actually joked about some of the teams actually moved as kind of one entity, and whenever they were getting to the ball. We had a teacher that our band director took a dive to save the ball and actually pulled his bicep muscle to go to the doctor.
Talk about team spirit.
That's right. And he said he'd do it all again, and I said I would really enjoy watching him direct this concert with one arm. So, but the spirit in the gym, the thing that came across to me as the most important there was the fact that I saw some students that were kind of on the bubble or on the fence that could be your possible negative leaders move over to the side of the fence where they became positive leaders.
What a wonderful opportunity.
Some of them, we also had MVPs, and that was all based on the spirit and their camaraderie.
And I can tell you from my experience with visiting school districts around the nation that the spirit has definitely diminished across the board in school districts, especially in high school situations and middle schools.
Yes.
Is there anything else you do at the junior high school level?
We've started to initiate a 7th grade luncheon, where what we're trying to do is bring in, we've just completed another aspect of our building project, which has brought us back into our administrative wing. So now we can begin this program, and the idea is to bring our 7th grade students in a group at a time, maybe 6 or 7 kids at a time, to sit down and have lunch with them. We had originally thought of the name Pizza, Pizza with Palmer and Boken. And We thought it would be nice to sit down with those incoming 7th grade students, small group at a time, and just do an open discussion over lunch. Sit down and say, how are things going for you? What are your concerns? Do you find anything that you feel could be done better here? Is anybody bothering you? What do you enjoy about our school? What could we do that would make it more enjoyable for you? Just really sit down and kind of debrief with them a little bit to see just how their experience is going and how we might make it better. Another thing we're doing is we have a local agency. We have a husband and wife team that come in and talk about socialization and also drug and alcohol concerns. Dick, maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Dory, that's become an arm of our team education program. And what we're trying to do is every month our drug and alcohol prevention specialists. And they're just bringing in some neat programs. We just finished a round where they brought in a young lady, probably 21, 22 years old, who's a recovering addict. And essentially she told her story. And I know that's been done before, but we want to you know, just keep in front of the kids the idea that, hey, you know, people are saying, you know, drugging and getting into alcohol is bad for you. Why is it, you know, and presenting that to them. But tying in the positive aspect, because every time we hear, you know, why do the kids do drugs? Well, there's that peer pressure, And so we're trying to kind of flip it over and say and create a positive peer pressure. We had a teacher not too long ago made a big scroll, put it outside their door, and they had headlined it, "Everybody's doing drugs," and that with the question marks, and she simply put, "Not me," and she signed her name, and she put it outside the door. And within a week, we probably had about 200 names on that list, and all of a sudden, we're saying to our young kids, "No, not everybody's doing it, and you know, you can run a positive life, and you can have fun, and you can go forward without getting involved in this kind of stuff." So we're pleased with the program. We're rotating it through every month, so by the end of the year they will hear from these people, you know, 9 different times. And then as we tie in that, we say, okay, we can have fun. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do mega volleyball. Our program for this 9 weeks is going to be a super trivia bowl. We're planning on taking them ice skating and just getting out, and especially tying in the adults and the older kids with these younger kids to say, we're all in this together.
You said socialization skills. What do you mean?
Go ahead, Dick.
Socialization skills. Just to develop the skills to be an individual, to stand on their own and to say, listen, here are the decisions that I have to make. I have to make some big decisions in my life. I'm going to have to choose. Well, one, I'm going to have to choose my career, and what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I'm going to have to choose whether or not when I go to the parties that I'm going to drink. I'm going to have to choose whether I'm on a drug. I'm going to have to choose sometime in my life. I'm going to have to make a decision, you know, when and where I'm going to be involved with sex. And what we're trying to say is we want to build a positive. You know, you look at yourself and you say, hey, I'm really worth something, and therefore I don't want to do the things that might destroy my life.
Yeah, I would just add to that to say on the socialization end, this program is delving into the realm of establishing positive relationships in every way, positive relationships with who you're hanging out with, positive relationships with why you're hanging out with those people. Do you need to change that? Looking at it, in a greater awareness.
Well, I can honestly say these are not the kinds of things that I would have expected in a seventh grade curriculum. Far from instructional, you're teaching the kinds of skills that children need to life skills. That's what positive relationships are all about.
Mm-hmm. I'd also indicate to you that our school board, our superintendent, this is a large directive within this district. And when I was looking for a district to be a principal, one of the key attributes I looked for was a superintendent, a school board that would back that kind of a philosophy up, one that's not only going to back it up but promote it, get in there, get the kids to be. I think our goal really is to educate them, and I know that you've talked about this in the past, as a whole child, and creating a whole adult, one that can function within a safety, within positiveness, and be happy, and really try to reach all of their potentials.
You are listening to Children Come First. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski, WAAT 750 AM on your radio dial. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m., and this morning we're with Southern Tioga School District, and specifically Mansfield School District, with Trent Boken, the principal of Mansfield Junior Senior High School, and Dick Palmer, the school counselor. And let's go back to, I know, Trent, that you've done a lot of research with regards to innovations nationwide and the kinds of things that need to be done in your school in school districts in order to be able to make them successful. And I wondered, some of the research that I saw that you put out is slightly contradictory to the standards today as far as education, the educational standards being put by the Department of Education, the State Department of Education, how do you resolve those conflicts in your school district, knowing what you know?
Well, one of the things that we have to do is stay up to date with the research. The research that I've just recently completed, much of the research is based on information that's coming out presently, and right here in 1999. I tried not to go back too far, and there's almost all of the research, what permeates the research is just the importance of leadership, desire to implement a positive program, desire to implement programming that has parental and community involvement in the school system, the importance of creating a personalized school-community relations model. I think looking at the standards, we're also in the process of creating a curriculum map for our district, and we're trying to align our curriculum with the state standards as delineated by the Pennsylvania Department of Education.
Well, how is that personal? How is that community-based if you have to align them with the standards of the state?
Well, at the same time, we always have to look at the individual take on your community. What's also pervasive in the research is the fact that whenever you have a successful program, that successful program may not be a successful program within another region.
That's correct.
So basically what you have to do is you have to look at your community. You have to say what works within this community. And what is pervasive, again, is the fact that you have to personalize your structure. I know that simply looking at the effects of large schools and smaller schools, and I know that you've talked about this in the past, but the smaller your school, the more apt you are to have a safer school. Why is that? Why is that? Because you can create a personalized environment more easily. All of the things that come with creating a personalized environment, getting those parents involved. There's information that is consistent in the research on parent involvement. The fact that if you have a strong parental involvement, you're going to be more apt to have a strong academic program. Also to have less behavioral concerns with regard to negative behavior. I know that I have research here from 1995 that says encourages parent school involvement for two reasons. One is to create a supportive parental involvement in the gist of increasing the probability that students will succeed academically. The other is that parental involvement in the area of volunteerism contributes directly to any goals and program support that you need. So when people are involved, they know what you're about, they're going to be more apt to support that.
Well, you have a parent breakfast. How is that working?
Our parent breakfast is working incredibly.
What is it?
The program is it's an offshoot of two different things. We wanted to set up a program where we could bring parents in to our school setting and welcome them in and create a social environment where we could have a breakfast and just open discussion. The parents have great ideas. The parents are doing the jobs in the communities where their own job opportunities have given them access or exposure to very neat ideas of how to make people function well in their working environments. So what we try to do, on top of that, they have many ideas for how we can make a better school environment. So what we tried to do is we said, well, let's bring these parents in and let's serve them breakfast. This came out, the second offshoot of that was the fact that we have a life skills program that is just fantastic. Our life skills program, our school district has the philosophy that we should have an inclusionary program with regard to special education. And that just functions, it focuses and fits right into positive programming. These students are involved with students that are also on our community service program and students that are also working within our Key Club, which is a service program that we have. And what happens is these students all get together. They work together to make and cater the food and also do the welcoming of the parents when they come in.
So the students cater the food for the parent breakfast.
Yes, they do. And we had them title their program, and they called it Tiger Catering. Our mascot, of course, at Mansfield is the tiger. And so they called it Tiger Catering. And so what happens is, basically, about every third week, we have a group of approximately 10 parents come in, and we also have staff also with this. We had 3 staff members last time, and what's happening is these people are coming in. We have a nice open environment. Some of them say this is just great because this is the first time I've ever been invited to come into a school and give opinions, or just invited to come into a school, period, as a parent. And so we eat, which makes everybody happy, especially me. And so we eat, we sit down, and we introduce each other to each other, okay? And we talk, and we have open discussion, and I talk. It gives us a forum to talk a little bit about what positive program we have going on, and to ask, did your kids talk to you about this? You know, what did they think about this? And it allows them to kind of give us feedback on that. At the same time, we then say, okay, you know, we're not doing everything we can do to make this the best place it can be educationally. What ideas do you have? And it just opens up a great forum of communication with the parents. And when they leave there, and then what we do is we tour them through our building. We show them our computer labs. We show them our distance learning room. We show them, we have a brand new building. So we show them every aspect of that building. And when they leave there, they have a very good sense that, hey, we're about many positive things here, and I've just contributed to that. And then the point of contact after that is to make sure that if you do utilize what they're saying, to make sure that they know that afterward. So we send a thank you letter. We talk to them about the benefit that they've had on our school, and we bring that up in every future opportunity that we can.
Dari, I think there's two fringe benefits that I picked up as maybe just from my guidance counselor mindset. You know, one is having the faculty in, different faculty come into those breakfasts, and, you know, it's my opinion in the last, you know, 10 years, the spirit of cooperation between home and school staff has probably gone downhill for a lot of reasons, but these are the kinds of things we need to, you know, bring back the idea that, you know, we're a community, you know, we're here for, you know, your son, your daughter. And so having that social setting is really excellent. And the other thing I've noticed with the first few breakfasts we've had is that I appreciate the job Trent's done on mixing the parents. It's not that we don't bring in the 10 parents that have the best athletes in the school or the 10 parents whose kids are in the top 10 in the class. It's a nice mix, and it's kind of neat to see that because they say, hey, you know, maybe my child's not, getting his name in the newspaper for leading the team in scoring or you know, being an outstanding athlete, but my child's important. And I think that's very, very important that we emphasize that.
Well, what you are doing is contributing. David Bohm, the Nobel laureate physicist from this state, actually, talks about dialogues very much and how dialogue is important to develop not only an understanding and a communication, but to create something much more than the dialogue itself, which is what communication really does. And I can't think of a better PR tool than what you are doing and a better marketing strategy for trying to create a fluid environment for parents to be participate. I mean, you've got students, staff, and parents working together on one event that probably changes the perception of how parents feel about the school just because they can dialogue and have a conversation about it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, Dori, just to finish off with parental involvement, I do have a...
By the way, I just wanted to say that I sampled some of the student catering, and it's excellent.
Well, it started from our Tiger Catering started last year when we had a retirement dinner, and those students made all of the hors d'oeuvres, and they were... I looked at them, and I'm a connoisseur of that. And they were just fantastic. They did a wonderful job. It was comprehensively done. It was professionally done. And it was better than a number of weddings that I had attended. And they just did a fantastic job. So, and that really is also a tribute to the teacher that runs that program.
Well, one of the most successful schools I've seen in the United States is in New York, and what they do is that they started out doing this sort of catering phenomena, and all of a sudden they no longer have support staff in the school, but the students have become the cafeteria staff. So perhaps you have that to look forward to in the future.
Yeah, I think that if we did that, I think that I would probably put a real large stressor on my life skills teacher's heart. So just a point to leave off with the parental involvements. The Department of Education put out a study, and it talks about it's based on child trends, and it talks about low involvement, moderate involvement, high involvement. In every way, when there was more parental involvement, as a matter of fact, they put out a chart, and it clearly depicts the fact that low involvement on the part of parents is directly correlated with greater instances of students repeating a grade. When they're low involvement, they're also being suspended or expelled more from school. They're more apt to be in the bottom half of the class, and just academically and grade-wise, academically and behaviorally, when parents are involved, many more positive things happen, and it just gives the kids a greater opportunity to achieve successfully academically.
Well, I know I was one of those involved parents for many of my children, and when it came time to middle school, I mean, I did everything. I went on all the field trips and everything. I volunteered for everything in the school, and when it came time for middle school, my children said to me, "No more, Mom. You've been there all of our lives. You've been there every step of the way. Please don't volunteer for the school dances. Please don't volunteer for anything." What do you say to parents? And of course, I didn't listen. What do you say to parents whose teenagers say those kinds of things, which inevitably occur?
I say this: don't worry, because you're the parent. I think we've lost the definition of what the parent is. The parent is the person that is the older person that's supposed to have the responsibility. That person having the responsibility to have a child needs to take on that responsibility until that child becomes an adult, period. They should be involved in every part of that child's life. As a principal, I attend almost all of our school activities. I bring my family with me. I have four kids all under 5 years old, and we all go to these events. I love to see parents involved. When a parent brings a concern to my attention that they're saying, you know, I'm worried about how this person is conducting themselves with a kid, or I'm worried about this program, I think it could be run better, you know, and they feel bad about that, I say, don't feel bad. That's great. Thank you for bringing it to my attention, because I can address that.
Well, Trent, I'm going to interrupt you. We have to give a little bit of time to our sponsors
okay.
here. You're listening to WAAT 750 AM on your radio dial. This is Children Come First with Dr. Daria Brzezinski, and we'll return in a few moments while we give a little bit of time here for our sponsors, and we'll be talking to Trent Boken from the Mansfield School District, as well as Dick Palmer, the school counselor. We'll be right back.